We read scripture from two places this morning. First of all, Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, the verses 9 through 14, following which we will turn to Matthew 5, verse 6. Matthew 5, verse 6. The sermon is based upon both passages. Luke 8, verse 9. 18 verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Next we turn to Matthew 5, verse 6. Matthew 5, verse 6. The fourth beatitude of the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage. And Matthew 5, verse 6 reads, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Thus far we read in God's holy word. May the Lord bless the reading of his word unto us. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, consider the text together with me this morning under the theme, Hungering and Thirsting After Righteousness. Necessary righteousness, fervent hunger, blessed satisfaction. Jesus says, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. This beatitude spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ brings to focus the righteousness that we need. What is righteousness? Righteousness is basically the idea of being right with God. And it is an idea which the world around us has an appreciation for. And by that I have in mind the many religions in the world around us. Consider, for example, Islam. Islam and its followers have an appreciation for necessary righteousness. And that is easily demonstrated. That is demonstrated by those who give up their lives for the cause of Islam. What are these martyrs, so to speak, who give up their lives to have infidels killed, supposed to obtain necessary righteousness, acceptance with Allah, a guaranteed acceptance in heaven by such a work, a reward, a rich reward in heaven. And that righteousness that is necessary from the Muslim's point of view comes from self. What you do in Islam. So too also is that, secondly, the second example of those religions which have an understanding of a sense of necessary righteousness, for example, from the Oriental culture which I come from, Buddhism. What do Buddhist monks have to say to one who has been diagnosed with a terminal illness? they say something like this: go and get busy. Go and get busy with works. Do all kinds of charitable works. Do as much as you can, as long as you have breath and life. Do that, and hopefully you will appease the gods. Once again, this is trusting in self, trusting in the works of self in order to be right with deity. The problem with these examples of righteousness is that they are all wrong. Wrong kind of righteousness that's needed. Why wrong? Wrong because both are from wrong religions. Wrong because both the gods being worshipped are wrong gods. They are false gods, idols erected by man. Wrong religion, wrong god that promotes essentially the same kind of righteousness, self-righteousness. Why? Because the one true God of true religion calls for a vastly, radically different kind of righteousness. Jehovah God calls for a different kind of righteousness in order to be right with Him. And it is not self-righteousness. It is not trusting in oneself. It is not trusting in one's works to be right with Him. That is because the righteousness that this one true God requires is a righteousness that is spotless. A righteousness that is perfect. A righteousness that atones for all sin. But self-righteousness is far from perfect and spotless and atones for no sin. And while in a way that is what we would expect from the religions of the world around us, it is distressing, deeply humbling, even chilling to note that the same problem of a wrong righteousness that's needed to be right with God is found within the sphere of the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's what we find in the Word of God this morning from Luke 18. Both the parable and the context of the parable that Jesus speaks in is set forth in the sphere of the church. Both the Pharisee and the publican were part of the visible church. Both came to the temple to pray. Both came to worship God, but how their approach to prayer and how their prayers were radically, entirely different. Notice the Pharisee, first of all, in verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now, to be sure, the Pharisee formally begins his prayer correctly, he utters the word God. He addresses God in prayer. And the next part of his prayer looks formally correct too as well. God, I thank thee. He even thanks God, something which we Reformed believers are taught to do from young. That's the third part of our knowledge of comfort, to thank God. At that point, the prayer looks outwardly good, looks right, looks acceptable. But in the penetrating gaze of our Savior, He was really only praying with Himself. All wrapped up with self. And we should not be surprised with that, because what is the righteousness that the Pharisee comes with to the temple of God? self-righteousness. A righteousness of self that is, in his mind, going to be sufficient for God. And so you see, the Pharisee, though he came to the temple, had no real need for God, even though he formally addressed him in prayer. In stark contrast, notice the approach to prayer as well as the prayer of the publican. His approach to the temple of God is with humility and fear, standing afar off, we read from God's word. That is very likely standing in the courtyard of the temple, something like the narthex of this church building, standing outside in the periphery or outside of the sanctuary. And in his prayer, instead of praying with himself as the Pharisee did, the publican prayed thus. We read, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Self-righteousness was obviously absent in the attitude, in the approach, and in the prayer of the publican. Self-righteousness was not the religion of the publican, even though both he and the Pharisee were part of the visible church. That statement, of course, leads me to the explanation for these very different prayers of these two men. What is the explanation? Even though both outwardly belonged to the church, each one had a different religion. That's the explanation. A different religion. Now it looked like both were worshipping the one true God, the same God, but most certainly it was not the case. The publican's God was the God of Israel, Jehovah, the one true God who is perfect in all his ways. Perfect in love, perfect in holiness, perfect in justice, perfect in mercy. But the Pharisee's God was not that God. Even though he might have called upon his name, his God, with a small g, was really himself. The Pharisees' religion may be formally different in name from Islam, from the ones in the Oriental culture, but in the end, in heart and essence, it is the same religion, the religion of self-righteousness. And that stands in stark contrast to the religion of the publican. And the righteousness which Jesus calls attention to in Matthew 5 verse 6. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That is, the perfect righteousness of God found in Jesus Christ alone. People of God, what is the righteousness you come with to church this morning? Is it the righteousness of the Pharisee or the righteousness of the publican? How we who are part of the Church of Jesus Christ need to hear that question and need to answer that question. Both the Pharisee and the publican stood as members of the church. Both came to the temple. Both addressed God in prayer formally. But their religion, could not be any more different. The righteousness that each one trusted in could not be more different. What righteousness do we bring into the sanctuary this morning? Is it the righteousness of our flesh, or is it the perfect righteousness of God in Jesus Christ? How was your self-examination in the past week? Did that lead you? Did that lead me to the cross of Christ? Or away from it to self? Those who understand the righteousness that's needed in order to be right with the one true God will show forth the fruit of a true spiritual fervent hunger. A hunger for that divine righteousness found outside of us and found alone in Christ and His cross. That's what Jesus tells us here in Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's a characteristic of the kingdom people of God. They hunger and thirst after the perfect righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Very clearly, there was no such hunger, no such thirst for that righteousness with the Pharisee. How could there be? The religion of the Pharisee was self-righteousness, and he was utterly confident and consistent of that in his religion of his. Listen to him. Listen to him justifying himself in his prayer with himself. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioner, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. In other words, God, I am so different. I am entirely different from other men who are sinners, repugnant, filthy sinners. I'm a pious man. I'm a religious man. I am an orthodox worshipper, orthodox kind of worshipper. Can't you see that, God? I've kept all your rules to the T. Such is the pride. Foolish pride. And arrogance of the Pharisee in calling upon the name of God when he doesn't really need him, doesn't really worship him. That name, God, is but a decoration in his prayer. And that, in my mind, is why the religion of self-righteousness of the Pharisee, as much as Jehovah God abhors all those other false religions outside of his church, he abhors the religion of self-righteousness of the Pharisee even more. Because he used the name of Jehovah and had no place in his mind, in his heart, in his soul, for the one righteousness of God that would atone for his sin. The righteousness of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. The Pharisee, though he was part of the Old Testament church, though he came to the temple to worship God, and though he called upon the name of God, was lost in his own religion of self-righteousness. He had no hunger, therefore, nor thirst for the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. But the word of God this morning being preached isn't being preached to that Pharisee, it's being preached to us. It is to us this morning. What regard do we have for sin, even our sins, and our walk with God? Do we utter the same kind of words that the Pharisee utters? I come to church twice on Sunday. I pay all my membership due and more. I send my children to the good Christian school. I'm a pious man. I'm an orthodox kind of worshiper. Can't you see, God, I keep all your rules to the T? Do we bring that to the table of the Lord this morning? If that is the case, the gospel word this morning is first of all not assurance and encouragement for such ones, but a command to repent and believe in Jesus Christ alone. That first of all, repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ and in His precious blood that alone atones for sin. In contrast to the Pharisee, behold the blessed gospel, humility and fervent hunger of the publican, of which Jesus soberly reminds us of in verse 14. Everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Behold that gospel humility and hunger of the publican in verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In other words, that's all that I am of myself, a sinner, needy, desperate, spiritually bankrupt sinner, a sinner who does not have an ounce of righteousness in me. So God, please supply me the righteousness that I need, the righteousness which alone comes from Christ and His cross. To all of us this morning who came into the sanctuary, is something of that attitude of the publican shared also by you? You who have considered your sins in the past week, you who put your trust not in yourself, not in your righteousnesses, you who put your trust alone in Jesus Christ. Come. Come to Jesus. Come to His covenant table this morning and commune with Him. Come and commune and be satisfied. Come and enjoy blessed satisfaction from Jesus Christ Himself. For that is the particular promise that Christ sets forth to you this morning. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You will be filled. Are you hungry? You will be filled. You will be filled with my righteousness. You will be filled, says Jesus to us, with me. Jesus here is, of course, talking about the satisfaction of all who hunger and thirst after true righteousness. And what a blessed satisfaction this is for such ones. The perfect righteousness that is found alone in Him, set forth by His perfect obedience in all His life to His very death of all deaths on the cross, is the righteousness that will alone satisfy the justice of God for our sins. Even those sins that came fresh upon our minds in the past week of self-examination, all our sins. What is that result? What is that result that is made real and declared in the souls of these ones for whom Christ died? What is the result? Forgiveness. Forgiveness declared to our souls. I died for you, my beloved. My blood was shed for you. That, in a word, was the one wonderful word declared concerning that publican in Jesus' parable in verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. The declaration of being justified and justified in Christ alone, by faith alone, is the blessed word of forgiveness. And such is the power of that word of forgiveness in the soul of one who hears it, that it assures, that it encourages, that it comforts, strengthens in Jesus Christ. May the promise of Jesus Christ in His Word to fill and satisfy our souls with such blessed satisfaction be made real to us this morning. To each who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, come. Come to the table of our Lord and be fed and nourished by Him. Come to the table of our Lord and know that He did indeed die for you and for me, unworthy sinners, who are graciously and so wondrously loved by Him. Come to the table of the Lord. You will not only hear in the preaching, but also taste and see the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ apply to your souls. You who are hungry and thirsty, come. Come and be satisfied. Come and be filled by none other than your Savior Himself. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless Thy Word, the Gospel Word that reminds us of our constant and great need for the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, our great need to know in our souls that our sins that remain with us against our will cannot and must not hinder us from coming to the table this morning. What a salvation Thou hast for us. What a righteousness Thou hast provided for us. And how, O Lord, how gracious Thou art unto us. Bless us, O Lord, as we come to the table, as Thou hast blessed us also by the preaching of Thy Word. Hear us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.